come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Count It All Joy, a teaching through the books of Philippians and James. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
So Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Father. I thank you for your presence with us. I thank you, Father, that we are overcomers. I thank you, Lord, that you fill us to overflowing with that joy unspeakable and full of your glory. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us. I thank you, Father, that you have left behind for us words that we are able to learn from, Lord, words that we are able to grow from in this Bible, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the study that's going on today. I thank you, Father, that you are a reminder to us that we are all your favorites. Lord, every one of us are your number one favorite. And how does that work? I don't know. But we know that you love us, and it's with your loving kindness that you've drawn us into your presence, Lord. And so we thank you, and we do pray, Father, for our nation. We pray, Father, for those who have not been touched by your hand, Lord, that you would speak into their lives, that you, Father, would be the one who anoints them and the one who strengthens them and the one who directs their steps. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to intervene in situations that he needs to. And Lord, you are in complete control. We do not walk in fear. We do not walk in worry. We walk in your peace. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said in chapter 2, I looked at that and wanted to set it aside numerous times because of the content of it, the favoritism that people play, and we all do. And you know what? I wanted to look up, I thought of a story that I had in my mind of someone who had helped someone on the road, and it was a famous person that they helped, and then they got paid something for later on after that, and they were not being a respecter of persons. They were just showing what was in them. They served, and it didn't matter that this was a famous person, and I finally found it and found out that it was an urban legend. So it didn't really happen, and it ruined my whole opening to the whole teaching. So anyway, it's a really good story, and I wish it had happened. Oh, you know what we haven't done? We haven't done our memory verse. Ah! Thank you for that reminder. We're going to do that right now.
So we're going to be reminded that God is here, right? Here we go. God is here. God is real. God is God.
God is God.
And I am not.
Am not.
Am not. God's will.
God's way.
God's time.
That's right.
Okay, now here is our verse. If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. James 2, verse 8. Let's do it again. If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. James 2, verse 8. Man, you guys are doing really good. Did you hear that?
Yay. Yay! We've got that good thing going. So, so getting back. So you guys all have that down. You already had it memorized, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Yes, you did, because you're putting the Word of God in your heart. Because we are entering times, ladies, when you need to have the Word of God in your heart. You need to have the Word memorized and in your heart, so that when this is gone, when we no longer have things that we can look it up on, when we no longer can look up things on the internet, when we can no longer depend on someone else to put it there, we have it deep in our heart. I have thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so we want that to be in our hearts right now. We are headed for some really interesting times in the world, not just in America, but in the entire world. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. And so let's be women of the Word completely. And you've proved that by being here. So thank you. Thank you. You guys are amazing. So last week, Kathy talked about the word in James being authentic. Authentic is a word that people are using a lot right now, but being authentic. We are going to talk about having authentic faith. Well, adding authenticity to this faith by our actions and getting that stability from what we are learning today. The theme is of maturity, authenticity, and stability. When James opens his letters, he challenged his readers to view trials as opportunities to grow. Oh, yay. That's the first thing I think when a trial comes. Oh, good, I'm growing. I am so excited to be in a place where I'm being so challenged that I want to hurt somebody in Jesus' name. But I am growing. But that's what James is about. To look at our trials in a way, counting it all joy, because we are growing, we are maturing. We have that that chance to grow and not be all sad about it. He asserts that every trial we overcome helps us to be mature Christians and not be women that are just the milk of the Word. Just not being, remaining in that place of being a baby Christian, but growing and knowing the Word and knowing Jesus better and that intimate relationship. Enduring these trials makes our faith and our relationship with Jesus all the stronger. This maturity leads us to put our faith into action, and James, we are... says we are blessed when we look into the perfect law of liberty and do what we read about, do what we find about. It's not enough to be a hearer of the word, not hearers only, right? But doers, hearing and doing. Can't have one without the other, hearers and doers. And this goes, James 2 goes right into that. When we put our faith into action, we will lose that tendency to of prejudice, for lack of a better word. It is a prejudice. It's a favoritism. It's picking somebody over some other person. And we will treat others with grace and fairness regardless of any worldly differences that might otherwise separate us. So showing partiality, in many ways, the Christian life is totally at odds with the culture that we live in. Would you agree? We are politically incorrect in so many ways. And I am thankful for that too. We don't and we shouldn't fit into the culture. We are to be of the in the world, not of it. And so we grow by those challenges that come. And this is here in the text today, we're talking about the rich and the poor, and he begins with an example. So we start with verse 1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so who's it to? believers, the brethren. Only the guys have to do it. It's what it says. It's what it says. I mean, they just have to. I'm kidding. These are the jokes. This is as good as it gets. So believers, family, church, please do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Don't say that you are a Christian that is growing and maturing and I'm a wonderful person. And does anybody else do that? Do you look at somebody and you go, oh, and I'm not going with that person. Yep. Is there any way that I can get out of it without them seeing that I was there? Okay, so, because I know I'm not supposed to show partiality and not, I'd rather be with this person than not that person because that person is really a whatever it is that annoys us about them. And then, but I'd rather be with this person, and but I don't want to sin because I will go to that person. And Lord, thank you that you have caused me to grow. Thank you so much. I'm enjoying the conversation so much. Lord, give me words when I get a chance to talk. Let me. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Okay, so in our text, we're talking about the rich and poor. That's a whole different thing. But it carries over into every area of our life, this partiality issue. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. Come on up. Yeah, I want you to come right up, please. We have a place for you right in the front because we know you're more comfortable there, and we want to make sure that everybody knows that you, the person with all of the money, is in our church. So we're going to put you up here. And you look at the other one, and you say to the poor man, stand there, or sit here at my footstool. When I look at that, the place for him to sit at the footstool was the place of a servant. So you look like a servant, so you need to stay here. Don't let people know that you are, you know, we don't want people to know that you have come into our, because it's more important that they know that this rich person, and I am not meaning to put it on my hand, I'm talking about that chair, not you. Okay. We put that person right in front, and we want everybody to know that he's a part of this, or she. And so you have that, you put him at your footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? You have judged the person on their appearance. First of all, you've judged the person on their appearance. God looks on the heart. We look at people and we make our decision on what they are thinking. Have you ever been in a conversation, many of us with our husbands, you know, they're telling us what we're thinking. I know you're saying that, but I know what you're thinking. And it's not anything close to what we're thinking. But we make a judgment on someone by their outward appearance. And we make a decision on where they're coming from. I've got to say that I am so impressed with you ladies because I don't see that happening amongst us. I see us welcoming people. You know, people come into this women's ministry because they feel so welcome here. That's your fault. That's not my fault. I just stand up here and talk. That's your fault that they feel welcomed here, that they feel loved here. Maybe they're turned away every place else, but they come here. There was a Sunday morning, and there was a gentleman who came in. Obviously, maybe he'd been drinking some, but he was obviously very, very tired. And his clothes didn't look great. And he came and he sat in the front row when we had chairs all the way across here. And so he sat right there. And I was sitting over there. And He was not disrupting anything, but he would start to fall over, you know, because being tired or whatever the situation was. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he told me, I want you to get up and go into the chair next to him and let him fall asleep there. And I didn't do it. Why did I not do it? Because I was afraid of what other people would think. That was what I did. But what happened, because God is faithful, the person behind him, a guy, took care of him. So, you know what? I missed out on a blessing. People who would have seen it missed out on a blessing of seeing it happen. Not that I would get the glory, but that God would get the glory for it. So what am I saying in all of that? I'm confessing that I am so unperfect. If there was any question on that, I've just made it clear for you, so you don't have to worry about that one anymore. But we look on the heart. And we tend to think that people that are have a lot of money also have a lot of wisdom. Do you think that when you see somebody all put together? You figure they're all put together in every way. So maybe we don't think that they're really wise. We don't think that they're really smart. But I see a person that's really all put together, and I think, well, they didn't get all put together just by chance. You know, they know a few things, and they probably have it all together. I get it all together. I can't find out where it's at. So I don't know. You know what? I cleaned out some stuff, and now I can't find anything. Honestly, this is no joke. I'm not trying to be funny. This really is the truth. I am an organized person that this pile works with that. That's there, that's there, that's there. Nobody else can find it, but I know where it's at. Now I'm all clean and all tidy and nice and neat, and I can't find anything. I can't find the shoes that I wanted to wear. I couldn't find this. Anyway, moving along. So listen, verse 5, listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? So those who are rich in faith, not rich monetarily. Those who are rich in faith. And I think that people that are, it's not that wealthy people are not rich in faith. Many are. Many are believers. There are rich in faith people that I know. And along with that, poorer people have a tendency to realize, I don't have it all. I don't have it all together. And I don't have everything that I need. So I have the faith that God's going to meet my needs. So they are rich in faith because of the need that they recognize in their life. That's the important part. But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? How many times have we heard the name of the Lord taken in vain? By people who don't know him, that don't care, and they are in these great circles of people. So, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, what is the royal law? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We say that, and yes, we should love the Lord, or love people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We would not treat people, I would not treat people in certain ways if I really went by that royal law. Because I wouldn't want to be treated that way. When I ignore someone, not often, occasionally, it happens. Sometimes it's not on purpose. Sometimes I'm looking right at somebody and they think I am ignoring them because my mind is someplace else. I'm looking right at them and not seeing them. But if I truly went by that law to love my neighbor as I love myself, I would treat people differently all the time. But then, as I love myself, do you, like me, ever have days when you don't really like yourself? And those are the days that I call myself names that I would be offended if someone else called me those names. So we can't trust in love your neighbor as yourself because we fail in it because I'm loving them like I love myself, and so I expect as much from them as I expect from myself. It says that you do well, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of it all. So we cannot, why do we have the Ten Commandments? To let us know we can't keep them. To let us know that we need the grace of God. Because if we fail in one, you know what? I did all of the Ten Commandments. Yes, I do. All of the Ten Commandments, I do. Yep. Every one of them. Love the Lord the God with all your heart, soul, mind, and yep. Have no other gods before. Nope, I don't think I do. Okay, on to the next. Not committed. No murder. No. But I did lie. I've broken all of the laws by breaking that one. And I have need of a Savior. And so that's evidence of that. Do not commit adultery. Also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. So do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. And what is that saying? If for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Judgment is without mercy for those who will show no mercy. I'm so far into my notes that I don't even know where I'm at. So love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor with that story in Luke 10, 29 through 37 of the Good Samaritan? Who's my neighbor? Everyone. Everyone is my neighbor. Our neighbor is any person who has a need that I can meet. And I need to do that. And what it's saying here in verse 13 is to be careful how you judge. Don't judge just by the way that you look at the person. Judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. If I don't want to give mercy, I can't expect to receive mercy. For mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. If we show mercy to others, the judgment which might otherwise fall on us will be replaced by mercy. Mercy given, mercy received. Remember that the way we treat the least lovable believer isn't it the way that we treat the Savior? So remember that the way we treat the least of these people is the way that we treat the Savior. Matthew 25:40. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. How we treat others is how we treat the Savior. Matthew 24:50. And so we move into the next section of our text. And we're going to find out about works and what faith is. What does it profit, my brethren? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, so here we have another story going on, and you say to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Go ahead. I can see it. Somebody else is going to take care of you because you are not a rich person. You have no place here. That doesn't happen here amongst us. I know that doesn't happen here amongst you guys, because I know you guys. But you do not give him the things that which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. We all have a measure of faith. We all have a measure of faith. I have faith that if I go to sit to that chair, that chair will hold me. So I go ahead and sit on that chair because I have faith that it will hold me. We walk in faith all the time. We have faith in so many things. I have faith that when I get in my car, that it's going to start. I have faith that it's going to stop when it's supposed to. I have faith that it's going to carry me where I need it to be. We all have faith. But do we have saving faith? Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. Oh, you do well. Even the demons know, and they tremble. The demons know, and they tremble. Do I tremble at the thought that there is one God? There is one God, maker of the heavens and the earth. We're not talking about a faith that works. We're talking about having saving faith. Saving faith is a faith that trusts in the Lord with all my heart and doesn't lean to my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him so he can direct my paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I believe. That's faith. Trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, not leaning to our own understanding. And we're introduced to this other person. So this is not talking. Works are not the root of salvation, but they are the fruit of salvation. Works are not the root of salvation, they are the fruit of salvation. So you show me, and you show me your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 20. And then it goes on and we talk about Abraham. Works that go in our lives show what we truly believe. What we do shows what we truly believe. In Psalm 23, I think it's verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It shall follow me because I have been following Christ and living in a way of goodness and mercy. I've been giving goodness and mercy, and it is following behind me. I've left a trail of mercy behind me. The effects of saving faith, a tree that produces good fruit, is saving faith. That saving faith that follows behind us. The effects of saving faith, a tree. Yeah, so faith is invisible. The only way others can know you have faith is by the life that demonstrates it. I can tell you I have faith until the cows come home. But if you don't see the actions of that faith, then you have no idea what I really believe in. And you don't want what I have. You see, we are to live our lives in such a way that people want what we have. That relationship with Jesus Christ. I heard about a calorie is invisible. Right? Can you see a calorie? No, we can read about it. But can you see the results of calories? Oh, so well. Yes, I know the results of calories. I can't see it, but I know that it's there because it has outward evidence. Does that make sense? That's what it is in our life, that outward evidence of what's going on inside of us. It goes on to say in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you, that's in Genesis 22, by the way. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So he's a man. He is a rich man. He's going to be the father of all nations. And he believed God. He believed God. You know the story of Abraham, right? You all read it while you were... Anybody not know the story of what we're talking about here? You'd be surprised. Sometimes I see a hand. He, by faith, believed in the promise that God had given him. God said, Isaac will be the father. You are the father of a great nation, and it's going to come through Isaac. He believed the promise of God. He had faith in a God that keeps his promises. And so he was able to walk in that faith. The evidence of it showed up when he was willing to do what he was willing to do, to lay down the life of the thing that meant the most to him. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out on their way? You know the story of Rahab, right? You know the story. You know how she, by faith, believed the promise brought by the men who said that they would save her life if she stayed in there, if she would cover for them. She believed in what she had heard about this God that has taken down every other city. She believed, and she saw the faith of these men who were there, the spies that were there. And because she saw the faith in action of these men, she was willing to do whatever it took to be a part of that faith, to be a part of what they have. And so she watched them and believed what she had heard. She believed in a promise. Now, as I looked at this, as I looked at this particular portion of our text in chapter 2, everything I read, everything I heard people talk about, was all in two sections. There was the section of favoritism, and then there's the section of faith. But it all ties together because you see, Abraham was what? He was a patriarch. Abraham was a rich man. Abraham was a man. He was the beginning of the Jewish nation. And then on the other hand, you have Rahab, who was a prostitute, was a woman, was an outcast by a number of people, and yet would come in the lineage of Christ. Can you see how there is no favoritism, and you put that over into the first section, that there's no favoritism throughout the whole time? God does not deal in favoritism. He does not deal in that saving faith. These actions that were taken place by these people changed their lives and changed history. I've heard it said that faith that does not change your actions is doubtful that it will change your destiny. Faith that does not change your actions, I am doubtful that will change your destiny. Rich Mullins, the singer, said, "Faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine." I haven't heard that phrase in ages. But isn't that true? It's about as helpful as a screen door on a submarine. So God provided himself. And it ends with, for as the body without the spirit is dead. So what is alive when you look at someone's body? When you see a believer die, have you ever been at a bedside and you saw them pass away, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, they're not here anymore? You look at their body, but they are not here anymore. It's as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Their action of that faith, it has to show in our lives. And I can't, this is saving faith. So let's ask ourselves two questions. Am I willing, like Abraham, to offer the dearest thing in my life to God? Am I willing, like Abraham, to offer the dearest thing in my life to God? And am I willing, like Rahab, to turn traitor to the world in order to be loyal to Christ? That might be a question that we will be asking ourselves a lot in the near future. God has it. God's got this. And I am so excited about next week's lesson on taming the tongue. Let's just go from partiality to taming the tongue. Thank you very much for your clarity, James. I love that you get straight to the point. Thank you very much. And we are growing in our trials, and we're so thankful for that. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, that you have gone before us. Thank you, Lord, that you have filled us to overflowing with that joy unspeakable and full of your glory. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you, Lord, that you have filled us to overflowing with all of the wonderful things that are yours and yours alone. Father, help us to live in such a way that everybody wants what we have. And Lord, help us not to give up on anyone, because you didn't give up on me, Lord. So help us to love like you love. Help us to have a working faith, a faith that grows, a faith that matures, a saving faith. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We do pray for Cheryl right now, Lord. And we continue to ask for your continued healing, that infection, Lord, would be completely gone in the name of Jesus. That it would be completely and totally done away with. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. In the power of your name, I've given up, letting go, standing.